അല്ലാഹു അക്ബർ അല്ലാഹു അക്ബർ അല്ലാഹു അക്ബർ അശ്ഹദു അൻ ലാ ഇലാഹ ഇല്ലല്ലാഹ് അശ്ഹദു അൻ ലാ ഇലാഹ ഇല്ലല്ലാഹ് അശ്ഹദു അന്ന മുഹമ്മദ് ൻ റസൂലുള്ളാഹ് അശ്ഹദു അന്ന മുഹമ്മദൻ റസൂലുള്ളാഹ് ഹയ്യാ അലാ സ്വലാ ഹയ്യ അൽഫല്ലാഹ് ഹയ്യ അൽഫല്ലാഹ് അസ്സലാത്തു ഖൈറു മിനന്നൗം അസ്സലാത്തു ഖൈറു മിനന്നൗം അല്ലാഹു അക്ബർ അല്ലാഹു അക്ബർ ലാ ഇലാഹ أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين
آمين آمين Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. As-salamu alaykum, my dear brothers and sisters, and once again, Ramadan Mubarak. Of course, this is your brother Abdul Muthakir Muhammad, doing my best to welcome you to the Umma Reflects our podcast where we strive to help the believers get off to a good start in the morning during the blessed month of Ramadan. We thank you for being a part of this occasion, and we pray that Allah will guide the words of our guest speakers, that those words will aid us all in our growth and development as believers in Allah. We were so blessed to hear from our sister, Dr. Khalilah Ali, yesterday, and we thank Allah for her inspiring words with us yesterday. We thank Allah for our guest speaker today. And to take us further into our program will be our brother and friend, Brother Abdul Akbar Muhammad. Brother Akbar.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Kareem, my brother.
I'm so happy to be on the program this morning to hear my brother's voice and that call to prayer. I thank Allah for these days. I thank Allah for these hours that we are together during the holy month of Ramadan. And those brothers and sisters who could not join the prayer line or could not be with us, we asked Allah to bless them during this blessed month of Ramadan. We asked Allah to bless their families and their loved ones. And in a terrible time in the history of America and the world, Muslims look for life and peace with one another. So I thank Allah that I could be here and listen to our brothers and sisters each and every morning during this blessed month of Ramadan. I want to talk about how I became a Muslim and how the search for Islam and search for truth helped all of us. Right now, the world is in trouble. Brothers and sisters are in trouble all over the world. We asked Allah to give us peace. We asked Allah to bless those who are wounded, those who may not have a doctor or food. We asked Allah to bless us during this time, those who can live comfortable and don't have to worry. May Allah bless you. Help someone else. Help those who have problems. Help those who don't have a doctor. Help those who don't have a plate of food that they can eat. We ask Allah to hold them in their faith, not to get weary and get tired. This is a tremendous hour for not only America, but for the entire world. And so during this time, we ask the Muslims to do what you can to help another Muslim. We ask the Muslims to stay away from arguing and fighting. It's enough of that going on in the world. During the month of Ramadan, we have to hold fast to each other. We have to show respect and love for each other. We have to look at what we have and see how we can share it with others. We ask Allah to bless our children. They have a journey. They have a struggle. And we ask Allah's blessing on them. They need it at this time. Even those who think that they are all right, they have a problem with their families maybe, and we ask Allah to bless them. There's many things going on in the world, but one thing is consistent, and that is the love of family and life, most important. In my young years searching for Islam, I didn't know what I was looking for, but I knew that what I heard was excellent. I knew what I heard was good for the family and could help the family. So we asked Allah to continue to bless us. We asked Allah to help us in this time. We asked Allah to help our families, our children, and our loved one, because this is a terrible time for not only the Muslim, but the entire world. I want to thank Sister Nisa Islam and the brothers and sisters who work with her, the brothers and sisters who listen to the call every morning. We ask Allah to bless them, to keep them safe. I thank Allah that I heard Islam at a young age. And I know that there were brothers and sisters looking for things in life that could help them. And they found it in Islam. And now they're trying to carry that tradition on of spreading Islam and helping brothers and sisters who are searching, not only just searching for a book to read, but searching for things in life that will help them in a time of trouble for our children and our adults. I thank Allah for Nisa Islam and this idea that she came up of the prayer line. And during the time of struggle, people may not see what they would see after they begin the struggle. They begin the struggle and they begin to see more and more and more. So I'm grateful this morning, this Ramadan morning. I'm grateful that Allah has blessed you to be able to sit down to a cup of coffee or food, a blessing for your family to be able to help someone else. During the month of Ramadan, many people suffer during Ramadan. Others are doing well, but they are those who are suffering. And if you know someone who is suffering and you can give them a cup of coffee or some bread, do that, because there's others that don't have that, that don't have that opportunity. I was a young brother looking for something in the streets of New York, and I found it, I felt, in Islam. Islam gave me an opportunity to express myself. Islam gave me an opportunity to help others who could not help themselves. So I thank Allah. I wrote a note the other day about when Minister Farrakhan and I would walk down Lenox Avenue and we would see the brothers and they would be dying to shake his hand. His hand, their hands may not have been clean, but they would try to wipe them off just to shake his hand. And what they were doing is saying that this man has hope. This man has changed my life. This man, because he sees the life in Islam, has changed my life. So I pray, Allah, that we will continue on this path. Don't get weary. You know, it's easy to get weary or tired, but ask Allah to give you strength to keep going, to keep pushing, and to keep working to help our people who are struggling. So I thank you for this time this morning. I pray, Allah, that I will live long enough to help more brothers and sisters. I think about the schools, how we started schools for young people. So I thank Allah for this morning. Thank Allah for the staff, and may Allah continue. Thank Allah for Minister Farrakhan and his staff and those who work in the vineyard to keep this going. Thank you as I greet you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Akbar. Thank you for being one of those foundational stones to help us to get this off the ground. And may Allah continue to bless you for the beautiful work that you have done and are doing. May Allah continue to bless you and your family. All praises are due to Allah. I'm going to ask our sister, Sister Nisa, Dr. Nisa Islam, will she now come and introduce our guest speaker, Sister Nisa?
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness Muhammad is his messenger. It really gives me great pleasure to introduce our special guest this morning. It is attorney Hakeem Muhammad, who is the founder of the Black Dawah Network. Brother Hakeem.
Assalamu alaikum to all of the Muslims. This is a message from your brother, Hakeem Muhammad, greeting all of the Muslims. Ramadan Mubarak. This is the month of the Muslim for self-restraint. This is the month of the Muslim for self-discipline. This is the month of the Muslim to increase in their knowledge of the Quran, their knowledge of the Hadith, the authentic sayings of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. This is the month of the Muslim to increase in their ibadah, their worship of Allah. May we use this Ramadan wisely in order to fulfill the objective of getting closer to Allah than we have ever been before. Let us use this Ramadan to abandon all sins that we have been engaged in before, and that we truly fulfill the objective of getting closer to God. When we are instructed in the Quran to flee to God, that we flee to God with the striving that is due to Him, and that we remember that Allah has chosen the Muslim nation. Allah has chosen us as the best people who have been raised up for mankind to enjoin what is good and to forbid what is evil. Let us fulfill this duty as Muslims. I want to talk about a very powerful ayah in the Quran. And this ayah in the Quran has an extreme amount of significance to the believers who are the descendants of enslaved Africans who were forcibly brought here to this country against their will. It is an ayah that reminds us about having compassion. It is an ayah that reminds us about having agency. It is an ayah that reminds us of our ability to impact the world for the better. It is an ayah that reminds us that the world as it is not how the world ought to be, and that we have agency to rectify social conditions for the better. And that ayah, Allah tells us in Surah 36, ayah 47, donate from what Allah has provided for you. The disbelievers say to the believers, why should we feed those whom Allah could have fed if He wanted to? You are clearly astray. Believers, reflect over this ayah. It is not only an ayah that encourages giving to the poor, but it is an ayah that should cause us to reflect upon the socioeconomic system that creates poverty. It is an ayah that should do away with being passive in the face of exploitation and oppression, and being passive in the face of seeing those who are in need. This powerful ayah in the Quran demonstrates why indifference to those in need is contrary to the ethos of Islam. And it serves as a reminder of the powerful agency, the powerful duty and capabilities that we as believers have to transform the world for the better. How dare we see those in need, those who are suffering, in the street begging for a meal? How dare we see those struggling single mothers who are forced to resort to food stamps, and still after having those food stamps don't have enough money to feed their children? How dare we see any of this and say to ourselves, if Allah wanted to, He could change this? How dare we see this and sit back and be passive about it and not work to rectify the social conditions that Black people live under that create poverty? How dare we not work to rectify the social conditions that create food insecurity in the Black community and the food deserts that exist within urban ghettos of America? We can never sit back idly and passively and watch injustice and oppression and not fulfill our duty as Muslims to work to rectify it. This ayah reminds us about our agency and reminds us of our capabilities. And there is another powerful ayah in the Quran, one that has inspired entire generations of the descendants of enslaved Africans to turn away from drunkenness, to turn away from drug addiction, to turn away from lying, cheating, gambling, profanity, filth, fornication, and adultery, and the other decadent actions and activities that have been fostered under the conditions of white supremacy. And that is when we are told as Muslims that Allah will never change the condition of a people until they change that which is inside of themselves. Brothers and sisters, Islam spread through Black America like a light, transforming those who embraced it, those who had turned to drugs to escape the misery inflicted by white supremacy, laid their addictions to rest. Those who resorted to criminal activities for income abandoned it when they heard this powerful call to Islam, and those who were suffering from an inferiority complex, taught that the color of their skin made them inferior, taught to hate the texture of their hair, taught to hate the thickness of their lips. They embraced a newfound confidence, a newfound conviction, and they learned to love the way that God created them. And those who were inarticulate blossom into eloquence and learn to speak with both power and conviction. That is the legacy of Islam and Black America, and it is a legacy that we must continue. We must continue our agency to transform the conditions of our communities for the better, and we must take advantage of this month of Ramadan to gain closer to Allah, to increase in our self-restraint, increase in our self-discipline, increase in our worship of Allah, our knowledge of Allah, and may we enter into this Ramadan, may we leave this Ramadan rather becoming better Muslims than when we enter into it, and may we abandon all sins from the previous month, from the previous days before Ramadan, and may we flee to God, and may we strive to God and get closer to God than we have ever been before. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam, Attorney Hakeem Muhammad. Thank you. Thank you, my brother, for your words with us this morning. Thank you for the work that you are doing with the Black Dawah Network. Thank you very much, and may Allah continue to bless you, sir. All praises are due to Allah. We will now have the Umar report, which will be given by journalist Mark Lamont Hill.
Since October, Jewish communities around the world have mobilized in solidarity with Palestinians, calling for an end to Israel's brutal campaign in Gaza. Here in the United States, record numbers of American Jews have joined anti-occupation groups like Jewish Voice for Peace and If Not Now in some of the largest demonstrations for Palestine that we have ever seen. Many have noted that even before October 7th, a growing number of Jewish people across the diaspora have been questioning not just the actions of Israel's government, but the very idea of a Jewish state, especially one that comes at the expense of Palestinian lives, Palestinian freedom, and Palestinian self-determination. So are we seeing a significant shift within Jewish communities when it comes to Israel and Palestinian liberation? And is there an opportunity for lasting change? Joining us to discuss is Rabbi Alyssa Wise, founder of Rabbis for Ceasefire and former co-executive director of Jewish Voice for Peace. And we're also joined by Eva Bargwart, national spokesperson for If Not Now. I want to thank you both for joining me up front. Rabbi, I'm going to start with you. You have said since October 7th, Jewish anti-Zionist organizing against genocide has erupted on an unprecedented scale. Peter Beinart of Jewish Currents predicts, quote, questioning the idea of Jewish statehood will be a current in American Jewish life that it has not been since the American Jewish Zionist consensus was established in the 1940s. You've been a leader within the Jewish left for decades. Is this like a turning point when it comes to the question of Israel?
I think so, for sure. One of the things that we've seen in this time is that the organizing that actually been happening for decades is coming to fruition, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that what's happening right now in the Jewish community is there is a calling of the question, right? Who are we on a moral mm-hmm. and communal level? And how far are we willing to go to defend Israel and the Jewish state, you know, and I think for a lot of people who have not yet been called off the sidelines on this question, they're being called off now because there's no way to be neutral on this question. You either are standing against the mass slaughter of Palestinians in Gaza or you're for it. There's really not anywhere in between.
Eva, research shows that younger American Jews are becoming increasingly critical of Israel. Even before October 7th, there was a growing generational split between the American Jewish community when it comes to Israel and the occupation. Why do you think we're seeing this generational divide now?
I think there are a couple of reasons. I mean, the things that many young Jews are taught growing up, the sort of mythology that these successive Israeli governments have required to be able to claim Jewish support around the world, which they've needed, depended on for their foreign policy, that mythology is dependent on Palestinians not being fully human. And then young Jews go to college with Palestinian peers, or they follow young Palestinians on social media. In this moment, they see Palestinians broadcasting on Instagram the genocide that they are going through at the hands of the Israeli government. And there's a shattering that happens of all of the different mythologies of, like, a land without a people for a people without a land, the IDF being the most moral army in the world, as IDF soldiers right now are posting videos of the war crimes they're committing on social media. And young Jews are saying, wait a second, the values that we were raised with of justice and equality are totally incongruous with this, and we refuse to check them at the door when it comes to the Palestinian people. I was raised with, you know, an overwhelming amount of Holocaust education. I feel very, very clear on what has happened to so many Jewish people during the 20th century. And so it should not be a shock to anyone that I'm out in the streets resisting what I see as an attempt to wipe a people out. What was I taught in my Jewish education if not the ability to recognize an attempt to wipe a people out when I see it? And that's why thousands of young Jews are in the streets right now.
Rabbi Weiss, in October, you founded Rabbis for Ceasefire. Mm-hmm. You have said that Jewish teachings actually demand an end to Israel's onslaught in Gaza. Can you explain what you mean by that?
Well, I mean, the truth is, one can approach the sacred text of the Torah with any lens, right? So we at Rabbis for Ceasefire choose to read it to pull out its ethical and moral core. And when we do that, what we see is that the most sacred obligation that there is for people of faith, Jews and not just Jews, Christians, Muslims, everyone, is the idea that all people are made in the image of the divine. And what that means is that we must treat each person as sacred and each life as sacred. And so if you follow down that road, right, if that's your central spiritual obligation, then how does this massive slaughter in Gaza, how does the denial of food and water and medicine, destroying hospitals where, you know, the humanitarian crisis, like, it, you can't even begin to, like, wrap our heads around it, right? It's such a desecration of the divine. And for us at Rabbis for Ceasefire, we pull on these threads of Jewish tradition.
Let me just push back a little bit, because somebody's going to say, that's abstract, though, right? There are actual people dying. 1,139 Jews died on October 7th, and this is the abstract question, but then there's the literal and immediate urgency of protecting Jewish lives right now in Israel. What do you say to those people?
I think that it's a mistake to think about the Hamas attack as an anti-Semitic attack. I think the Hamas attack was an attack that was targeting Israelis and the Israeli state for decades of dispossession and occupation and apartheid. And so it's part of Israel's project has been to completely conflate Zionism and Judaism. So we are meant to understand that anything that Israel does, they do kind of as the Jew in the world. But Israel's not a Jew. Israel's a state. And they need to be dealt with and treated as any other state would, with the same accountabilities. And I think that when it comes to we understand what is our moral and spiritual obligations in this time is, you know, as the Persian poet Rumi put it best, of I've come into the world to see this, the sword dropping from their hands, even at the arc of their rage, because we understand there's just one flesh to wound. And that's the idea. There's just one flesh. You can't kill Palestinians and torture Palestinians in the way that Israel's doing and not think that that doesn't also cause injury, whether physical or moral and spiritual, to the Jewish people. And as rabbis, we feel an obligation. We took on a responsibility when we became rabbis to serve the ethical core of Jewish people. And we wouldn't be doing our jobs if we stood aside while Israel commits these heinous war crimes.
So,
Thank you, Mr. Mark Lamont Hill, for the Umar Report. We will now ask our brother, who we haven't heard from in a minute, Brother Nasser Muhammad, for the Fast Fact. Brother Nasser.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his messenger. Assalamu alaikum, Ramadan Mubarak. Here's our fast fact. Fasting is more than denying ourselves food and drink. The fast is also meant to break the domination of our egos, break our appetites for those things that do not please Allah, and bad habits that rule us. Hunger and thirst is one thing. It allows us to understand what others endure who fast because they don't have food or clean water. However, if we refuse to discipline our tongues, hands, and hearts, we deny ourselves the spiritual benefits from the fast of food and drink. Dear Muslims, it's not too late to rethink what we are doing. Even if you have not fasted one day or prayed, it's not too late. Ramadan is an opportunity to focus on the worst things we do and change that behavior. Shine a light on your defects. Resist staying stuck in regret. Some may think, we are halfway through Ramadan. I'm a lost case. I've gone too far in the wrong direction. Please think again. Reconsider. You are exactly where Allah wants you to be, and what Allah wants is for you to turn to Him. We are never too far gone. Never too far left that Allah will not hear our pleas for mercy. Allah hears and Allah responds. Fasting opens us up to all kinds of purification. We want to be purified of all that Allah takes away from. This cleansing process allows Allah to better use us for His divine will. This is the real connection between the sacredness of the month and the actual work of fasting. The fast opens our hearts and minds to understand the words of Allah that we read and hear this month. Dear believers, the fast is more than not eating or drinking. We have an opportunity to recharge and reset our behavior to be better Muslims. That is our fast fact of the day. The fasting is more than denying ourselves food and drink. Welcome to all our listeners from around the world. We've had over 120,000 downloads of this podcast. Listeners from around the world include St. Lucia, Somalia, and Sweden. We thank Allah over and over for the opportunity to serve. Thank you for listening. Our special guest tomorrow is Dr. Abdul Halim Muhammad. Islam is not the problem. Islam is the answer. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you, Brother Nasser. Man, that was beautiful. All praises are due to Allah. Our reading for today, brothers and sisters, day 16. We start with chapter 18, verse 75 through chapter 21, verse 74. Surah 18, ayat 75 through Surah 21, ayat 74. Once again, we will ask our brother, Brother Abdul Shaheed Muhammad, would you close our program with prayer, Brother Shaheed?
Assalamu alaikum and Ramadan Mubarak. Dear Muslims, let us close with prayer. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. Say, I seek refuge in Allah against the accursed Satan. بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ. الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ. مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم وَلَّا الضَّالِّينَ. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. آمين.
آمين. Thank you, Brother Shaheed. Amin. Thank you for your prayers with us this morning. As we close our program, dear family, on behalf of our guest speaker, Attorney Hakeem Muhammad, and the Black Dawah Network. Thank you, Brother Hakeem, and your family for all that you have done and are doing in spreading this powerful word of Islam. On behalf of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and his family, we could never thank you enough, dear Minister, for what you have done and are doing in spreading this powerful word of Islam. And may Allah continue to bless you and keep you and your family. On behalf of the Executive Council of the Nation of Islam and their families, and we thank Allah for each and every one of you for all that you have done and are doing to spread this mighty word of Islam. On behalf of my co-host, Brother Akbar, Sister Nisa, Brother Jamil, Sister Majida, Brother Nasser, and Brother Shaheed, and on behalf of all of those brothers and sisters who have been going out and feeding the homeless, as our brother said earlier, we have them all over the country. I know my brother in St. Louis, Brother Talib, and the believers there in St. Louis, Sister LaSabre, and the believers there in Atlanta. The sisters and brothers went out and fed over 1,000 in Atlanta. On behalf of the student captain here in Memphis, student captain Brother Anthony J. and Sister student captain Stephanie Muhammad, and the believers going out all over the country. On behalf of all of you, let me leave you as I came to you with the greeting words of peace. Inshallah, we'll be talking again tomorrow. As-salamu alaykum.
Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-ali al-azim.
Glory be to Allah, all praise to Allah. There is no God but Allah. Allah is great. All power and might belong to Allah, the Most High, the Great.
Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. Glory be to Allah.
Glory be to Allah.
All praise to Allah.
All praise to Allah.
There is no God but Allah.
Allah is great.
All power and might belong to Allah, the Most High, great. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-ali al-azim. Subhanallah, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-ali al-azim.